Hello and welcome to the Surface Tension Podcast. My name is Alex. My co-host over here is Craig. We are going to be exploring deep questions and looking for deep answers to spiritual questions and questions about life in general. We're happy to have you here, and here we go. Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is a rarity. I'm going to kick us off, and this is going to be a subject that's you described before the recording is, I don't know how we're going to approach this. And the fact of the matter is, nor do I, but our culture is changing as a result of an emerging technology or a set of emerging technologies in artificial intelligence. And that has implications for a wide variety of relational avenues, emotional avenues, creative avenues. And you and I have talked about this a little bit here and there. We've probably had about 10 conversations about what are the spiritual components and implications with artificial intelligence as our world is changing very rapidly. We have all these underlying problems in our society. But now you just have this huge shift of how people are expressing themselves and how they're processing information and outsourcing the way that they compute things on a spiritual level, on an intellectual level, on an emotional level. You have people asking AI, how do I send the perfect text message to my love interest? You have people crafting music that sounds so captivating. And music's one of our greatest gifts for expressing a wide variety of things. And so when you said to me before this, I don't know how we're going to relate this to some people. I don't know how some people in our audience are going to appreciate something like this. This is going to affect people, not uniformly, but it's going to have an effect on all of us. And I just kind of wanted to have a conversation with you and throw it out there and just kind of see what we could come up with and what's really important about it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, in fact. So there's someone very close to me that just spent a ton of money on a studio, an AI, full AI studio that captures every twitch of your eyebrow, every click of your tongue, everything. It captures you, and it like takes hours. It's 80 cameras or something. It takes hours and it captures you. And now all of a sudden you have this computerized version of you that you can just put out into the world and say, here it is. And you know, the whole time I'm listening to that, personally, I'm thinking, I don't know what your application is for your world, but I'm having a hard time seeing that for my world. I love having a cup of coffee with a real person.
Right.
With seeing their eyes. I'm telling you, and forgive me for this, one of my favorite moments when I'm having a conversation is when I start seeing eyes moisten just a little bit.
Totally.
Because something in their heart has been touched and engaged. And so when we start talking about this artificial intelligence and what it do, we know it's going bonkers, right? It's impacting so many things. I had a guy at an In-N-Out Burger that sat next to me, total stranger. Hey, you mind if I sit here? Hey, please, welcome. I always get excited about strangers inviting themselves into my world.
Yeah, why not?
And he's an investor. He's like, hey, you doing AI? And I'm like, no. He's like, oh, you're a fool. And I'm like, well, that may be true, but that may be separate. And he's like, it is unbelievable. And he was trying to wax eloquently about how AI is helping him make better financial investments. So it is, it's pervading society in such a way that's not just art, counseling, all kinds of things. What are the questions that we need to ask? What are the questions we need to ask to think through it well, to process it well? I mean, I think a lot of people like me, I told you before we started recording and I said, I don't know if I'm a great person to have this conversation with because I kind of feel like it's like roller skating. I I don't roller skate. I'm probably not going to roller skate. And so why would we talk about roller skating?
I think, and I refuted that.
Yeah.
Because I think you're actually one of the best people to talk to, because your area of expertise, as far as I know, is God, the human heart, and the soul, and the importance of the interplay in all of those things and all of our relationships. And if there's going to be something that can disrupt that or have a paradigmatic shift to that, I would want to hear the voice of somebody who has made it their life's mission to better understand those deep questions, those fundamental truths about who we are and what we need, and understand how this is encroaching upon
right
things that we used to say, oh no, that's a God realm. Creativity, that's an expression of spiritual truth, and if we're doing it correctly. I have insisted this to people around me all the time. If we're created in God's image and he is the ultimate creator, then some of the best worship we can do is express ourselves creatively. And so if that is being not taken away from us, but if that's shifting in such a pronounced way, I've had bouts of extreme sadness as I realized that I could clone my voice. We could technically make an AI Alex, an AI Craig, and have them dialogue on surface tension and have it sound like you and sound like me, but something would be lost. There'd be a lot that's lost there. So I'm curious about the things that, I don't know, is it an all or nothing thing? Do we need to have kind of that, is it Luddite or Luddite approach where it's very anti-tech that gets almost in the lane of Unabomber saying, hey, I don't like technology, it's going to be our undoing? Do we need to have that hard of a stance in your mind, or do we need to negotiate with it? I think you're the perfect person with whom to chat.
It is interesting that as our culture has battled with authenticity and vulnerability, and that becomes a very high personal value for especially the young generation, that this would emerge something that actually blows that up. The connectivity, the authenticity, the vulnerability. I'm curious, who's most excited about AI? Who's just sitting there on the sidelines, clapping their hands, saying, man, I can't wait to get my hands on the new version because I want to do this with it and I want to do this with it. Who's most excited about it?
You know, I've been really excited about it at times, but then I've also been very cautious about it. So I don't know if there's a uniform response to that. I think we have different reactions at different times. I've been spellbound by some of the images that I've been able to conjure by using the language that I choose, to see photorealistic depictions of a black and white 1970s looking magazine cover of gals posing with a T-Rex at Jurassic Park. That's insane to me. It's so captivating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. There are technologists in Silicon Valley who are looking at it as their savior. They're looking at at AI as humanity's savior. I have never looked at it as such. And I think that's probably one of the hardest boundaries that we would ever want to draw and say, we already have a savior.
Yes.
We already have a savior. We do not need to attempt to create our own. That only goes poorly.
Yeah. Again, just so many thoughts that just kind of bounce in my head. I don't know how many of them are helpful or productive, but the people, the guy, In-N-Out Burger Buddy, he seemed to be excited because he had a powerful tool that he could control for his own success.
Mm-hmm.
I have something incredibly powerful, and I've mastered it to be able to manipulate it, to be able to tell it what to do so it creates success for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just interesting. It's just as an observation. It's like, I wonder if part of that's the driving principle of people that want power, control, and success.
Yes. I mean, I'm very startled by the people who are at the forefront of AI development in the way that they are. It's hard to separate a creator from their creation. It's, I think, almost impossible. And I see it, the ideology that is implanted. They make the AI, the text AI, lie about things. I'll ask it point blank questions. What are the political leanings of your creators? Oh, we don't have any. My creators don't have any. I'm like, oh, okay. The moral judgments of a computer that reflect the perverted moral judgments of a secularist who not only doesn't believe in God, but who is angry at people who do. That's something that I find startling, terrifying even.
You know, it's interesting that you mention creator and the created, because back to Romans 1, where Paul is building a case for the importance of salvation, the need for Jesus, he starts with this, we are all really messed up. And one of the reasons why we're really messed up is because we've worshiped the creation rather than the creator, which is so interesting.
What a beautiful pull of scripture. Please continue.
Well, it's just interesting that once again, we're trying to do the same thing. We're worshiping creation instead of the creator. And this is maybe just a microcosm of that. And when we do that, it doesn't just change our behavior. It changes the way our minds process. It changes the way we think through things. It changes the questions we ask ourselves as we move through life.
Worshiping the creation rather than the creator. That's so fascinating and such a beautiful thing to highlight. I don't think most people would highlight that. Morris, you're in the game and we need you. Come on now.
It's just interesting. Again, this is something roller skating with AI. I feel very uncomfortable in this world because, it's not something I'm probably going to be dabbling in, but I know that it's here. I know it's going to impact my life. I know that there's people all around me that are impacted by that. And the thing I'm most curious about, and maybe this was true for what Paul saw in Rome with the people there, that as they worshiped the creation instead of the creator, it shifted their value. It had a value shift for them that was significant, because you and I tried to do a little funny exercise on the way to a baseball game a while ago. And you had such a great little prompt, and it was essentially create some great questions about God and life and the soul and the spirit of, and you listed all these people, right?
Well, yeah, I'll explain it real briefly. I made a theologian bot in ChatGPT, and I made the inputs some great thinkers and great writers, you know, C.S. Lewis, Tim Keller, Tolkien, but then Paul, Jesus, all of, John, Luke, Matthew, Mark, and used all of these to create one super theologian. And then the prompt to this digital theologian is come up with a list of questions that would get people closer to the heart of the Father, something that we wrestle with. And it wasn't bad. There were elements that were missing, but it wasn't terrible.
No, it was actually the use of words and images was very powerful. And I remember after you read, because I think you did 10 or 20 of them, I can't remember how many, but you read them to me. And the first feeling I had. You and I talk about a thought map all the time, saying, all right, let's follow our thoughts. Let's be aware of how we are experiencing the information that we are being exposed to. My first feeling was, oh, wow, I don't know if I can even ask questions that good. And it was very interesting. That was my first reaction to hearing that. Oh, man, I don't know if... And it did something inside of me that kind of turned passion down, value down, worth down.
Totally.
That was not good. Now, it didn't last long because it was a little dabbling with the questions. And in fact, the more we looked at the questions, the more we saw there was almost a facade of wisdom and beauty and elegance that really didn't create the space that you and I probably could in a real conversation. But that's happened. And I think it's happening to artists and musicians and probably investors that there's a...
Investors, attorneys.
Yeah, that there's this, oh, I'm incapable of doing something that beautiful, that successful, that good. I have to have this other resource in doing it. And I think it diminishes the value that we have. That it's one of the things that Jesus came to testify about on the cross. You have incredible worth and value, and the world all around you is trying to say you don't. Mm. You don't count. You don't have worth. You are incapable. You are intolerable. You're insufferable. The world's shouting all those things, and he's like, don't listen to them. Listen to me. I'm saying this is how much worth and value you have.
AI will never be capable of self-sacrificial love to display value. Is that possible? That's not possible for AI to die to show me that I matter.
That's one of the amazing outflows of Christ and what he has done for communities and for individuals, is that he has given them a new mission that says, I can bear witness to the value of every single person around me. Every single person around me has incredible worth and incredible value that I get to bear witness to. I get to testify to. We talk about that all the time. The way we look at the grocery store clerk, the way we look at the homeless person, that is a subtle and beautiful way of saying you have value and you have worth that you have no idea about because Jesus died to be with you.
Well, it has nothing to do with what we do either. It has to do with who we are. We have that intrinsic value. But as more things get stripped away by AI and automated, the things that we would normally do to prove to others how useful and full of worth we actually are, that almost gives us as Christians an opportunity to tell people and show people that they have value, whether they're doing a lot or whether they don't feel like they're capable of competing against these crazy machines and algorithms anymore. I think that actually gives, there's going to be a major vacuum of meaning and significance that I think we need to rise to that challenge as Christians, as followers of Jesus, in a huge way, because people are going to be spiraling. Mm-hmm. I've had my spiral days, my spiral weeks, as you did in the car when you say, whoa, this is like startlingly impressive and it's not getting worse. This isn't going to get worse.
Right.
Man, yeah, we're on this ride. We're on this ride together.
Yeah.
But it is a wacky, wacky time. And I think you're hitting the nail squarely on the head when you say this is creating a big crisis of value. I think that cuts to the heart of the issue entirely. When we have fewer ways to prove how valuable we are to people through worldly means, that leaves us naked.
Yeah.
In a way that can only be clothed by God.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. And yet there are going to be people like you who are trying to say, this is a tool. Let's try to use it for good. You are going to try to create goodness and value and the right messages and right thinking through that creative process, which has been really fun because you've created some amazing videos, including a resurrection video that was fantastic because it was entertaining and engaging. And it helped people experience the resurrection of Jesus in a new and a fresh way that was unbelievable. And so anyhow, I thank you for that. And so I'm not saying there's not good that can come from this, but holistically, it's going to be interesting just to see what happens in the heart of people, what happens in the soul of people, the minds of people, what questions do they ask differently? How do they connect with people in a new way? Are we going to be just walking through our days trying to create prompts so that the people around us have the perfect response? I don't know. I think that's part of the fear is this, where is it leading? What's the trajectory? Well, where is this heading?
As if we already weren't in a challenging time for value and meaning
right
before this style of technology is exploding.
Yeah. So let's go C.S. Lewis Screwtape Letters on this one for a minute.
Because I would love to.
So many times. Have you ever watched a TV show or a movie and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you see something unravel in the script or in the storyline that you're like, that's amazing. Because they had planted some incredible seeds and you didn't see what was coming. And then there was a twist or a new development. You're like, oh, wow, that's impressive. There was an architect, right? And there's architects that are behind this, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just for a second saying that it's the other team that's architecting the AI stuff and that there are powers, principalities that are controlling this in order to lead culture and the huddled masses down the wrong way. Now, C.S. Lewis wrote in the Screwtape Letters, essentially a demonic game plan to bring down an individual or a relationship or a culture. And if we were just to kind of, you know, put C.S. Lewis and Screwtape Letters over AI, where would we anticipate this actually heading? If we are being led somewhere with this technology, where do you think it is?
I think it's a further, more insulated reality. I mean, you could have, think about all your favorite songs, all your favorite movies. I mean, you can get lost in those, right? And in a year, maybe you're going to be able to probably create feature length films with a basic text prompt. You can have music created that is perfect. It just flows with all of your sensibilities and favorite artists. It sounds just like it. It's the Craig Morris soundtrack. I saw the other day a car that would change the music based on what you were doing with the car, whether you were accelerating. It would change the music, decelerating, turning left, turning right, and it would flow with the beat. And it's this personalized reality that creates a nearly terminal level of main character syndrome, which is already pervasive in our society, is that main character syndrome. Jesus is the main character, right? We get to be a part of that story, but this is pushing people more towards, you are the main character. You are the only character that really matters. Focus on yourself. I see this as creating personalized realities for people that are so captivating that they do not venture outside of that reality into relationships, which challenge the reality and then allow for a co-creation of a more beautiful reality that is harmonious and full of love and connection. I think that's the seductive nature of it, is because it's so visually and auditorily compelling, it will continue to pull us farther and farther away from real life connection with people and with God. And it will be very challenging to overcome because it is so, it's such a sensory experience. And it plays upon our fleshly values of wanting novelty, certainty, feel good, feel surprised, all of these different things. It's going to be able to play on that and draw us farther away from God and from other people.
All the things that our flesh craves that can't deliver. Because none of those are soul needs that we actually have. You were talking, I was reminded of a quote from Dr. Seuss that I've used sometimes in wedding ceremonies. You know you're in love when you can't fall asleep because reality is finally better than your dreams. You know you're in love when you can't fall asleep because reality is finally better than your dreams.
That's a goosebump call out. My arm hair is standing on end hearing that.
Where does that take you?
Offline and out of fantasy into reality. I'm a highly imaginative person. All of us are in our own ways, whether that's being used for good, bad, or in between. But there's so many invitations now to draw us out of reality that when we do get those invitations to come into reality in a full and rich way, in a relational way, in a loving way, that's the invitation that Jesus extends to us all the time. All the time. Come to me. Come to me. You don't have to live in fantasy. You don't have to live in this imaginary space. You don't have to create stories to distract you from the harshness of reality, because the reality that I'm extending to you is more beautiful than you could ever imagine. Now that is something.
I don't think we can improve upon that. This has been a short and powerful podcast. Thank you for sharing your heart. Because that is what the healthy part of us, the part that's going to last for eternity, desires. Love, connectivity, vulnerability. I heard someone talk the other day and they shared a story about how they went through an incredibly difficult period of time. And someone said, you know, I feel like you are wearing a straight jacket and you're just trying to convince yourself that you're comfortable.
Whoa.
And she's like, yes. And guess what? Unless you've got a trick shoulder or your Houdini, you can't get out of a straight jacket by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone else to come and help you. And that means a relationship with a friend, with a savior, with someone who's going to say, let me undo these buckles. Let me release you from that which is binding you so that you can be free and loved as you were designed.
I love that. And I actually read something the other day that was very much in that lane, is that we are prisoners trying to convince ourselves that we're free by avoiding touching the walls.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And our minds are very powerful tools, and we can. Boy, if we had a room full of 100 people and we said, how many of you would rather live in a fantasy world than reality? How many hands would go up?
If they sat with it long enough and they were totally honest. Most of us spend so much of our lives in our own heads, imagining scenarios, either good or bad. So fantasy in a fantasy world that you would think that the implication would be positive, but most of us live in a negative fantasy world for the most part.
Right. My cherished, my wife, she's awesome. We've been married for over 30 years, so it's worked out. But the first couple of years were very difficult. And I remember her just saying, you don't want to hear anything challenging. You just want to hear what you want to hear. You just want to hear what you want to hear. And I'm like, yes, welcome to the human race.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
Why would you be surprised at that? We don't want a challenge. We don't want. We don't want what we need. We want what we want. And health and moving towards health is craving what we need more than what we want. And getting back to this AI thing, I don't know if it can ever help us get actually what we need. It may give us access to what we want. Views, clicks, financial success. May save some time, maybe get some notoriety, but that's what we want. What we need is very different. I don't think it can ever deliver what we need.
Well, I've had AI videos that I've crafted over the past couple months that have had millions and millions and millions of views. And as that was happening, I won't lie to you, it felt pretty good. But I knew that as soon as that view ticker slowed down, or I posted something that was a bit of a bust on a comparative basis, that I would hit that low and I'd be back. I would be back. The drug has worn off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drug, man. Those artificial highs created by validation that mm-hmm. we think is fulfilling. Satiating a soul need, but it's not actually.
It's no different than eating a plate of chocolate chip cookies for me or for someone else that wants to get high or get drunk or something else. It's just that temporary euphoric spike that it doesn't last. There's no promise. And the things that last are this, our relationship, friendship, being there for people when they're in trouble, listening to a story of someone who has a hurting heart and saying, I care for you. I'm here. I'm in your corner.
I did find great joy and meaning in creating the art that I did with AI that got those views. The most meaningful part of that was the creative process that came before the reaction. That was the joy, because I was creating messages that were rooted in deep biblical truth.
Yeah.
About forgiveness, about love, about temptation, about grace. They were baked into that cake, and there was real art and real creativity communicate something that language misses, and there is an opportunity to create beautiful things with this as a tool, but the downside is tremendous. The downside is tremendous. The downside is creating noise. I mean, there's so much noise being created right now because it's so easy to create visually and things that are pleasing to the ears and eyes.
I wrote down on my little piece of paper in front of me one word, lost. Because you use the word lost to describe people who could get lost in music or lost in this car that changes its music as you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
That might make me crazy. But there seems to be this lostness that's sucking people into, and as you described it, into themselves, further into themselves, wanting to be that main character in every single storyline that we are in, which we know is not healthy and it's not reality, which creates more of a sense of lostness. And it's so great that that's what Jesus said. This is my mission. That's my mission. He says in John 14, I came to seek and save the lost. However, you got lost. If you're still wandering, trying to get lost, if you're trying to find, if you're in any state of lostness, I came for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
I don't know if I have a good answer with or a mandate for people of how they should interface with this technology moving forward. Because with a car, you could plow into a group of people or you could get from A to B. The unintended consequences of cars, I mean, you've got the cities were redesigned. We have asphalt culture. So there's the obvious things that we can see. There's the things that aren't obvious that are lurking beneath the surface. So I don't, to kind of reset on the beginning of this conversation, we're not authorities on all things AI, but we're trying to better understand the needs of the soul, the needs for connection, to worship the creator, not the creation. I love when you said that. There are a lot of important things that I think we're discussing, and these issues are going to come up more and more for people in the future. So whether we like it or not, there is a spiritual component to this technological landscape in which we find ourselves.
All right.
Can be used for good or bad, but there's going to be unintended consequences that rob us of more things than I think we're willing to be robbed of. And hopefully in that state of, hey, I lost my my soul wallet, hopefully people realize that Jesus is standing right there saying, mm-hmm. I've got it for you. Here it is.
That's good. I don't know either. I don't, I mean, it's not like we want to say thumbs up, thumbs down. We don't know. I mean, we don't know if this is something that is a beautiful tool that God can use to help people be captivated. We don't know if it's a tool that the other side's using in order to pull people away that may be counterproductive, because people will find themselves in such a lost, desperate place that they'll start turning to Jesus. I have no idea. I do know the Bible has some beautiful principles about making decisions in gray areas.
Mm.
What do we do when there's a gray area? We don't know what to do. Is this good? Is this bad? I'm not sure. Romans 14 has some principles that Paul says, hey, here you go. Here's some principles. Is it going to glorify and honor God? Okay, good principle. Is it going to make your brother or sister stumble? Is it going to cause people to stumble? Okay, all right, another little kind of filter. Are you fully convinced in your mind that this is the right thing to do? Okay, good. There's just a couple of principles in another book. Paul says, if it can be received with thanksgiving, then it's probably a good thing. If you're able to give thanks to God for this thing, then it's probably okay. So anyhow, those aren't decisions as much as just decisions, parameters, and saying, all right, this is helpful and gleaning wisdom as to making decision with some of these gray areas. So, well, thank you for taking us into this area. I'm still probably not going to roller skate, and I'm probably still not going to indulge in the AI world. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe in 2 years I'll be the master of AI. That might surprise you, and it would certainly surprise me. I don't think I'm heading there. And regardless of that, and that's one of the beautiful things about these conversations, is we can take almost anything and say, God, what do you think of this? And what is your heart towards this? And I love what you shared about, boy, if we know how deeply loved we are by God and how much value we have, how much worth, that changes everything. It changes even the way we would probably be using a tool like this. And I celebrated you a couple of weeks ago because you had a video that you worked really hard on. It didn't quite do as much as you wanted it to do out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you were okay. And I said, Alex, how cool is that? That your foundation is getting so much stronger and thicker with God that disappointment doesn't take our train off its tracks anymore. Look at that. I thought that was a beautiful thing. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to see your life and to take us into this world of AI. Thank you for listening to us. We want to thank the generous people of Go Ministry International and The Walk that support this podcast. We're so thankful for them, not just who they are, not just their support, but their mission, because their mission is we want people to encounter this captivating God that we know. And I love that. I love people, churches, missions, nonprofits, organizations that are all about that. We are all about. So thank you for that. And thank you for joining us in this podcast. Hope you have a great day.